What does God think of us? We'll thoughtfully consider that here today on Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
And welcome to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. You've heard of an open and shut case, right? It's often said in cases where the evidence is strong and convincing. That's really what we have in Romans chapter 3, don't we? In a moment, you'll hear the 14 counts against us, man's defense, and the verdict. After all is said and done, we'll see the whole world lies guilty before God. With God's view of man, here in Romans 3, once again, Pastor Jeff.
Notice this, verse 12. He says, they are all out of the way. They've all gone astray. They're like sheep left. They're going their own way. All we like sheep have gone away. Each your own way. There seems a way that's right to a man. But guess what? The end thereof is death. So man left to himself will perish in his fallen state. He has no hope. Left to himself in his fallen state with the nature that he has. He goes immediately to hell. He has no hope. It's over. It's done. God makes it very clear. It's like a sheep that gets away and thinks everything's great, and he gets under the fence and he goes away, and he finds himself, instead of greener pastures, he finds himself in a desert with vultures all around and wolves looking over at him. Everything is a predator to him. He's history. He can't make it out there by himself. We need a shepherd. Now you say, well, I have a shepherd. Yeah, you don't have the good shepherd. You need to have the good shepherd. He'll lead you beside still waters and green pastures. So man chooses very poorly. He always goes after evil. His nature, of course, is corrupt. And Jeremiah says it this way. And Jeremiah, as he didn't have a very successful ministry as far as seeing a lot of people come to the Lord, but God sure gave him some powerful things to say. And in Jeremiah 2:13, Jeremiah cried out and says, for my people have committed two evils. Here they go. They're going after two evils. The first evil is that they have forsaken me, the fount of living water. They turn their back on me, God says. The second evil is that they've dug out for themselves these giant holes that are supposed to hold water that are broken, that hold no water. What's that all about? What are you doing?
I'm just digging a hole.
What for? Well, I'm hoping to hold water in it. Yeah, but it's cracked. It's no good for nothing. Well, yeah, I guess a cracked one, we can use it to bury our family in, I guess. So they're digging a hole to bury themselves in. Why? Why would you forsake the fount of living waters? But that's what they did. So man cannot change his nature. I mean, a beautiful illustration of this is a pig. A pig is a pig, right? Pigs smell. They roll in their own dirt. And they stink. And they're just full of it. And yet you say, but I like that little piggy. I want to get one of them little piggies. So you get that piggy and you bring it in the house and you get it all washed off and you bathe it. You spray some perfume on it, put a little bow in its tail, put it out in the front room. It's watching TV with you. It's my buddy, man. That's my pet. And as soon as that sliding glass door is a little bit open, it's raining, that pig's going to go out there and get in that mud and wallow. Why? I've cleaned you. You cannot clean the outside. It's the inside. He's a pig by nature. He's going right back to the mud. That's man. That's man. That's where our nature is. That's why we do evil. That's why we're messed up. When the Lord is saying simply, remember the story of Moses in the Old Testament. Remember when he lifted up that pole and the serpent was on that pole. It was a brass serpent symbolizing sin being put up on this pole. Jesus said, unless I be lifted up, then when I'm lifted up, all men will be added, you know, drawn unto me. In other words, you'll be, have a choice. And Moses told the people who were bitten with vipers and they were dying. They were just wiped out. Vipers were biting every single one of them. Moses said, look at this serpent on this pole. Look and live. Just do it. And those that looked lived. Those that said, what are you talking about? I'm getting stung here. I'm getting bit. And they didn't look. They died. That's how simple it is. Just, Jesus said, look to me. Look to what I did on that cross. I paid for your sin. I will set you free. I alone came to do this. So, it's very clear. Notice the fifth one. Now, what we're doing, and let me take you back a little bit, because the first one, remember, is none righteous, because there's 14 counts. And then that was in verse 10. Verse 11 was no understanding. Verse 11 again was none seek God. And that's number 3. And then number 4 was everyone's gone astray. And number 5 is they've all become unprofitable in verse 12 there. Become unprofitable. Like milk that turns sour. You know, you leave the milk out on the sink and your mom sees that, you know, you left it out, and she sees it after it's been out there all day long, and it's getting a little funky, but she sticks it back in the refrigerator thinking you just took it out. And so you open the refrigerator, and you take that milk, and you just take a big hit of it. Man, it's going all over the place. It's got chunks in it. You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't created that way. It was created to be cold and nice and milk, but it became funky. It's unprofitable. See, by us not understanding, you know, just by us being ignorant of the things of God, we become unprofitable. The only ones we're profiting is ourselves, because that's all we care about. Me, myself, and I. I don't care about anybody else. I'm not going to pray for other people. What do I want to do that for? You're unprofitable. You're good for nothing. And you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. You're just at a standstill. That's what he's talking about, unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good. Interesting. The next one, none that doeth good. What about man's good works? God says there isn't any. Man doesn't do good works. Hey, wait a minute. I just did a good one. I gave an older woman my parking spot. I helped an old woman across the street. Now, tell me that's not a good deed. Oh, okay, that's a good deed. God's not looking at good little good deeds here and there. He's looking at a lifestyle. What is your lifestyle? How do you think? What do you do in your life? That's what he looks like. He says there's none of them. They don't do good. Oh, they have a few little things that they do good, but they're not overall good. Here is God's opinion. Going back, I hope you put a marker there at Revelation chapter 3. But in verse 17, after saying, this is what man says, and then all of a sudden he changes in the middle of the verse, and he says, now, don't you know? First, he's saying, I've got riches, I've got goods, I don't need anything. Then God says, hey, wait a minute. Don't you know, knowest that thou art wretched? And here's how I see you. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. And you can sit there and go, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I have clothes on today. He's not talking about that. He's talking about you in your inner man or woman. You're lost, man. Unprofitable. You have no hope. You're blind. You're poor. Well, I'm not poor. I got money in the bank. No, spiritually speaking. So it's very clear. Right, Isaiah says, our righteousness is as filthy rags, saith the Lord. That's our righteousness. You think you have some righteousness? No. You know, and there's that philosophy that goes around, I'm okay, you're okay. This is not saying that, is it? You can't believe that. Well, I'm okay, you're okay. You believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want. No, no, you're messed up. Unless you have Christ, you're lost. So verse 13, he goes on. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues, they have used deceit, and their poison asp is under their lips. I mean, here's the great physician's evaluation. And he's got X-ray vision, right? He sees everything. And after man's complete physical from head to foot, he comes off with all of these things. This is your problem. You have a graveyard throat. You what? Open your mouth. Hang in. And this breath comes out. Whoa. What is that? Something wrong, man. It's not just bad breath. It's the lowest of vileness. Over in Psalm 5, verse 9. Let me read it to you. Listen to what he says. 5:9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. An open sepulcher is a grave, and all those in the Middle East, especially in Israel, they bury that, not in coffins in the dirt, but they actually have tombs where they lay the body in a sepulcher. A sepulcher is a flesh eater. It's the lime, that dirt that they bury the bodies in, that eats the flesh off the bones. And then they take the bones and put it into an ossuary, which is where they keep the bones of the family, and they store those. So an open sepulcher is a place where the dead are lying, and they're rotting. I've smelled death. I was going through Sidon when Israel just got recently, you know, it was in 82. They bombed, and they warned them. They told them to get out of town because there was big, huge arsenals of tanks and Russian stuff everywhere under huge caves that they were going to destroy, and then they were going to bring down. And they came through there, and they did, after 3 days of warning, they did what they said. But there were those that said, we're just going to stay. We don't care. And the smell of death and the bodies were everywhere. It was horrible. You don't forget that smell. You got to put something over your nose or you'll start gagging. It's a smell that you cannot smell anywhere else. I mean, unless there's a dead body. It's unique in its smell. That's what he's saying. You have a graveyard throat. This pit of danger. The stench of rotting flesh. Vile and loathsome. That's what he's saying is in us. God knows what's in us. He knows the damage sin has done. And he's being very real about it. Number 8 is deceitful tongues. Over in Psalm 50, he talks about deceitful tongues. Psalm 50 in verse 19. Thou gavest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frames deceit. And so the mouth, again, the tongue, it's, you know, it lies to achieve its end. You'll do anything. You'll say anything, like a politician. Unbelievable how they lie just to get where they want to go. You say, well, there's some good politicians. You said what? No, I'm sure there's some that think they're good, but there's no one good, not one, right? So, you know, okay, you say you're good. But you tweak things. And we're like that. We do that. James says it's like a spark. The tongue is a horrible thing. It's set on fire of the hell itself. And it only takes a spark to get a fire going. We were here this last year in Southern California. We saw hundreds of homes. We saw the fire spreading to where it was out of control. It was only sparks that got that going. And they kept flying and starting again and new and afresh. And behold, what a little fire kindleth. So is the tongue. It is out to, you know, destroy people. Look at verse or in number 9 indictment there in verse 13. He says, the poison of asp is under their lips. It's covered by the lips, under the lips, and it's poison that spews out. And what does that poison do? As a serpent, the venom kills when it's released. What are you talking about? Well, the tongue ruins reputations. Character assassinations. Just by talking. Just by you can ruin somebody's life by what is being said and spread. So men and women are born with, it seems like, these poison sacs behind their lips. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 12:34. He confronted the religious. He said, you generation of vipers. Whoa. And that was, he was talking about the religious. That was the Pharisees and scribes. How can you, being evil, and he called them evil, but they've got all the religious garb on and they're seeking God. No, they're not. They're religious ripoffs. They're fleecing the flock. They're misrepresenting God. They're just gathering money and getting rich off the people. They're evil. They speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the key to the whole thing about how this is going to work is the heart, isn't it? And God wants to deal with the heart. You deal with the heart, you've dealt with the throat, the tongue, and the mouth. Because it's the heart problem that he says is the real true problem. And then verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And today you hear, man. You hear these things where they bring somebody up to speak on a talk show or something, and they got bleep, 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 bleep. Man, what's coming out of his mouth? Just bleeping everything. He's got a heart that's wrong. He spews his bitterness, his blasphemy. He doesn't care. And you can tell when somebody's a Christian just by sitting down and talking with them where their heart's at by what they say. It's amazing. It's so true. The issues of life come from the heart. But he's saying you're full of cursing and bitterness. God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, the scripture says. And so the mouth, which is interesting, can be healed. Because if the heart gets right, the mouth will spew out good things. And this is why when Jesus talks in Matthew 12, he says, for I say unto you in verse 36, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof at the day of judgment. But by the words thou shalt be justified. And so by words, what we speak, we can be justified. And by thy words, you will be condemned. Isn't it? Look at that. It's at what I say that condemns me or justifies me. So there's power in words. So if I say, I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, what happens there? Well, those words that I just said, you must confess me before men. Then I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If we confess, though, we can use this mouth and just turn our hearts. We don't have the faith or anything, but God says, I'll give you a measure of faith to turn your heart to God and to ask me to be your Lord and Savior, and immediately you'll be saved. There's where everything changes, isn't it? That quick and that easy? Is that all it takes? A prayer away? Yeah. That if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord, you shall be what? Saved. So there's power in the mouth to condemn you or to justify you and save you. So we're going to give many of you a chance this morning to make that confession of faith. It's so important. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. And boy, we're seeing this more and more in the news, aren't we? How man is swift to shed blood. Quick, just take out a whole group of people. And he doesn't care. I mean, he's just full of anger. And you know, I was reading this article and it said that every school day in this nation, 150,000 kids and some teachers, a lot of teachers, stay home. Why? Because they're afraid of being stabbed, shot, or beat up. in school. Okay? 150,000. That's a lot of kids. Murders by youths under 17 years of age have tripled. Over 25% of all murders are done by youths. It's getting worse too, isn't it? Then Paul, talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:3, says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And here's one of the prophecies being fulfilled, that children will be disobedient to their parents. Boy, that's a big prophecy fulfilled this very day. And it wasn't always like this. The generation that's coming up are so disobedient and could care less. And without Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, to them, life, me, is meaningless. Meaningless. Doesn't mean a thing. They'll take anybody out and just walk away. Feel great about it. That's bizarre. That's scary. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. Of course. This is number 12 indictment. Over in Matthew's Gospel 7:13, he says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many therein that go therein. And it is broad. I mean, people are just going for destruction and misery. This is God's view of me. This is God's view of you, of everyone that's here. And you know, it should shut down any kind of judging going on. Now, I know a lot of times we judge because by judging that person, you feel better. Because you just judge somebody and you feel a little bit above them now. But that's wrong. How can we judge anybody when that's how God sees us and that's where we're at? That's what we're capable of doing. The wickedness that is in our hearts is unbelievable. And yet we imagine that everything's okay. Oh, gosh. And we say, oh, I don't have any sin. If you say you don't have any sin, you're calling God a liar. And you're a liar. You got sin? We've all missed the mark. We've all gone astray. So in reality, as in the days of Noah, Jesus said, so will be the coming of the Son of Man when their evil and violence is getting worse and worse and worse. We are in the last days. In the days like as Noah, like as Lot, we are there.
Well, there you have it. The indictments are in, the counts against us, leaving no doubt we are all sinners and guilty. But we don't want to leave you there. In a moment, Pastor Jeff Johnson will show us the way out of this mess. And yes, there is a way. This is Sound Doctrine, and we've received God's view of man today through a study in Romans chapter 3. If you enjoyed today's message, you can hear it again online at sounddoctrineradio.org. And then share it with a friend. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You know, parenting is sure challenging these days, as if I had to tell you. But God has all the help we need in His Word. And today we'd like to offer you a very helpful four-part teaching series from Pastor Jeff on parent-child relationships. You'll learn how to apply sound doctrine to your parenting as Pastor Jeff takes you through Ephesians chapter 6. It's available on a thumb drive, and you can order online at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. And please remember us in your prayers and your giving, as it does make a difference. We're constantly hearing of men and women that are growing and benefiting through the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. And you're helping to make that possible with a financial gift today. Again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org.
Well, as promised, that way out of the mess we find ourselves in because of sin? Yeah, here's Pastor Jeff once again, leaving us with some really good news.
The Lord is trying to bring us to this place of humility, this place of being honest. Humility is honesty, and to take a step of faith, to be healed, to get right with God, to walk with God. and don't do your own thing. And maybe you're a prodigal, you've gotten away from the Lord, maybe you're backslidden, maybe you've never front slid, you've never come to the Lord. Well, if you're here this morning, well, it's time to come. It's time to receive. It's time to be healed. It's time to get out of all the lies and the deception and the imagination, and it's time to get some reality. And that is that Jesus has been sent to be your cure. Now, when a man is sick, he doesn't like to go to the doctor until he's really sick. And that's what the Lord's trying to say to us today. I came to save the sick. If you're sick, you come.
He is a great physician who heals the sick souls. We come to him in faith. Well, that will do it for today. Come back next time when Pastor Jeff will pick up where we left off in Romans. That's here on Sound Doctrine, presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,